House Resources.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Davidson?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to remind members of the Resources Committee, we will meet tomorrow at 3, and we'll have a couple of new bills before us, and then from 4:30 to 6:30, the Subcommittee on the Mental Health Land Trust will be meeting again, and I'd like to emphasize that we will be pushing hard to get that bill out of our committee, hopefully Thursday or Friday. So with that, I'd like to make sure that Subcommittee members on the Mental Health Land Trust issue, please keep that in mind for tomorrow. Thank you.
Any further committee announcements? Representative Moyer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a notice to the International Trade and Tourism Committee members that the meeting that was scheduled for today is canceled.
Any further committee announcements? General announcements? Special orders? Representative Donnelly.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ask permission of the floor to speak on asbestos regulations.
Are there any objections? Hearing none.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Commissioner of the Department of Labor is proposing to get rid of regulations that were adopted by the last administration, and she would substitute them with regulations that are essentially the same, in fact are the same, has much less protective federal regulations on the subject. And that concerns me on both a substantive and also procedural level. I strongly disagree with what the commissioner is doing. I was a member of the Department of Labor's task force that consisted of representatives of industry, labor, government, medicine, and other groups, and worked for over a year on drafting the new regulations. The final regulations were the result of consensus of the people involved, and no proposals were made by that committee that didn't pass with at least a two-thirds vote of the members who attended the meetings. And within 3 months of the adoption of those regulations, the department is now proposing to rescind all of them, not just one or two of them, or not just this one because we disagree with this one for this reason, but the whole thing. And they sent us a notice. As you know, Mr. Speaker, we get a lot of these notices of proposed regulations. And the notice said, I'd like to quote from it, "It's come to the department's attention that the regulations contain technical inconsistencies which inhibit enforcement." And the department, of course, has not stated what those inconsistencies are. And in hearings that we held in the Regulation Review Committee, the commissioner didn't know what they were. She said, "I'm not qualified to talk about any of the technical aspects." So I asked, "Well, why not just fix what the technical inconsistencies were then?" And she said, "Well," basically didn't have an answer. Just, "Well, we're just going to propose to wipe them all out, and then if people object a lot, we may keep a couple of them." Well, some of these inconsistencies include some very, very important things, Mr. Speaker, such as having both a high temperature and a carbon dioxide warning gauge on a compressor. And I don't know if any of the other members here have ever done this, but I've worked in an asbestos removal project before. We were on supplied air, and it's quite an experience, Mr. Speaker. You're in a closed environment, totally sealed environment. You're not allowed to break the seal of your face mask at any time for any reason. And you have to use an air hose. And you have to take that air hose with you everywhere you go. And it gets incredibly hot. And you're not allowed to even stop to take a drink of water because you can't break the seal on your mask, right? And if anything goes wrong with that compressor, it's a very frightening experience because you know that it just takes a couple whiffs of the wrong kind of fibers in the air, and in 10 to 30 years you could die from that, Mr. Speaker, and that's exactly what's happened to people over the years. Mesothelioma, very limited one-time exposures can eventually kill people. That's just a fact. That's just a medical fact. So if you've ever been in one of these environments where one of these alarms goes off, it's a pretty frightening experience. And the committee looked at this and said the federal regulations don't even require a warning device beyond the for both these items beyond the compressor. And we said that's a real basic thing. We think that ought to be there. But the department's just wiping that out. And if you ask the commissioner why, she says, well, that sounds like a pretty good idea. I don't know why we're doing that, but I guess we'll take your, you know, we'll talk to you about that. Maybe we won't do that. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't. But I don't know why we're not going to do that. Because, hey, I don't know. But all I know is I wiped them all out. And then another thing we said was, after 4.5 hours of being in a sealed suit and a sealed mask and not being able to have a drink of water, being in a darn hot climate, I mean, because you're sealed up in this thing and it gets real hot, and you're breathing this processed air, which is incredibly dry, and hopefully the guy working the compressor has been keeping some moisture going into the air so you're not totally dehydrated. We thought people might be fair to say, you can go have a drink of water now. Take a couple minutes off. Get a drink of water. Breathe a little fresh air. But the commissioner doesn't think so, Mr. Speaker, because that was one of the things we adopted, and she just wiped that out too. But she says, well, you know, that might be a good idea. Maybe we'll keep that. Maybe we won't. But we'll see how comment goes. But we don't know because I'm not, you know, I can't talk to you about technical things. Well, Mr. Speaker, and then we said it might be a good idea to have somebody there watching that air compressor all the time, you know, so that when an alarm goes off or when something goes wrong, somebody there to fix it. So the 40, 50 people may be in a sealed room over there. When that alarm goes off, they may not, you know, be panicking, and there might be somebody there to fix it right away. Because I've been in one of these situations where the alarm went off or where the compressor broke down, and it's pretty darn frightening when you see a bunch of people trying to get out, you know, in that kind of a hurry when you're all connected together by an air hose and that's your only air supply, and everybody starts stepping on everybody else's air hose and they all get tangled up, and all of a sudden you got a choice, and your choice is, do I take off my mask and breathe this stuff that could kill me? You know, I'm not going to die tomorrow from it, sure, but maybe 20, 25, 30 years from now, I'm going to die from cancer from this, and that's your choice. Or breathing, you know, I mean, nice option. But the commissioner took that part out too, says, well, I don't know for sure if you need somebody there watching that air compressor. But I don't know why, because I'm not qualified to talk about it. So then finally we said that, you know, we thought the federal standards were a little low when you should require a seal around somebody's face, and there's different types. It's kind of complicated. It's pretty technical when you want to have a good seal on your air mask versus other types of air masks. And we felt the federal standards were pretty low about that, but it wasn't a big problem. You know, it simply require a little bit higher grade equipment, which most people already have. But that's out of there now too, Mr. Speaker, and maybe it's going to be put back in, maybe not. Well, those are some of my substantive concerns with what they've done. And the real problem here is, since we've delegated the power to adopt regulations, and they do the adoption of these regulations in this manner, they just say, here's what we're going to do, and then they take comment. And if they decide not to do that, well, then that's what they just do. Or they do something else. And you never know, again, what they're going to do. I mean, at least when we go through the committee process here until it gets to the floor for the final time, and even then there might be a conference committee, the public's advised about what the final proposal looks like, because we have notification requirements. But not the way they're running this. I mean, we may never know what they're going to come out with until they announce it. But they might consider those things that we raised, Mr. Speaker. They might think those are good ideas. But then again, they might not. And we're not going to know until they do it. And since, you know, we've delegated all this power to the executive, and it in fact is, we're delegating them the power to do these laws on these subjects, I think it's very important that they explain their actions when they do that. And they explain them accurately, because I know I spend a lot of time trying to read these cover letters to figure out what these all these regulations are about, and we get tons of them, lots of notices like that. It's a lot of work looking at them. I try to focus on the ones that I know about as much as possible and rely on other people to look at the ones that are in their committee assignments and their expertise. But if you look at the cover letter on these regulations, Mr. Speaker, oh, it's real interesting. And it said, quote, "This change is being proposed in order for the state to meet federal Occupational Safety and Health Administration requirements, as well as to comply with state law that mandates that the state adopt regulations as effective as those adopted by the U.S. Secretary of Labor." Wow, you know, that sounds pretty darn good. Sounds like this is something we got to do. That ain't what they did. They wiped out stronger regulations and got rid of them, threw them out wholesale to adopt the federal minimums. Now, that sure isn't what they said they were doing. Now, that's my other procedural point of view I got problems with here, Mr. Speaker, because if this is the kind of double talk we're going to get when they do this kind of stuff, how are we ever going to know what they're doing unless we all become full-time sitting in our offices reading these regulations, finding out what the heck they're doing? I've got some real concerns about, you know, where this department's going now. It certainly implied they were adopting these because it was some sort of federal mandate. It wasn't. We had perfectly good regulations in place to comply with both the state and the federal laws. There was nothing necessary in that aspect. Totally misrepresented what they were doing. Now, the commissioner's already apologized for that misrepresentation, but I still think it raises serious questions for the future about this whole process. Well, I don't know what they're going to do, Mr. Speaker. I hope they do the right thing. The commissioner said that she thinks safety in the workplace is her primary job. I hope she does. And I hope this was just some big mistake that we're not going to see repeated. But I'm frankly, you know, very concerned about this event. I'm very concerned for the workers of Alaska. And I know we could sit here and get into the technical considerations at all, but we had over a year of people volunteering their time to do that on behalf of the state. They didn't get paid for it. They put all that time in, and you know, when I asked the commissioner, well, before you did this, did you call anybody that served on this committee? And they were like, oh, there were over a dozen people from industry, all walks of life. She said, well, I called you. And I said, well, thanks, because actually I had called her when I read the regulation. She didn't call me about it. And I asked her, well, did you ever think to maybe call some of these people that put all these hundreds of hours in on this, writing these, drafting these regulations, see how they felt about it, see if there was any problems, you wanted to chat? She said, well, I don't know who they are. And I said to Mr. Arab, who's one of her assistants sitting next to her, I said, Mr. Arab, do you have a list of these folks? He said, yes, sir. And I just think that would have been the minimum that could have been done, Mr. Speaker, is give these people the courtesy of a phone call to thank them for their hundreds of hours and say, oh, by the way, you know, how do you feel about it? You know, we want to make these changes. I think that would have been very, very little to ask.
Representative Gail Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, on a little lighter note, my mother taught me as a child never to look a gift horse in the face or in the mouth. And I don't mean to be doing that, but I wanted to bring to everybody's attention the gift that we received last week from Make It Alaska. And if you'll turn your cup over, you'll see that it has been made in Japan, in China. And I think if we're going to get the message out about Alaskan products and Alaskan goods, this is where it's got to start. So I hope we all pass the word to these people. Let's start making these in Alaska, too.
Same with the walrus pins and the flag pins. We are under special orders, Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you. I'd like also to address the floor on the subject of asbestos.
Are there any objections? Proceed.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I attended the Labor and Commerce meeting where Commissioner nominee Nancy Usera was inquired of by one of the former speakers here on the floor relative to that person's concerns about the manner in which asbestos regulations were being proposed to be modified. And I was very impressed, first off, with her conscientious and reasonable replies to what I felt were rather hostile and harsh questioning, and then to her good faith, at least it appeared to me to be a very sincere indication on her part that she was very much concerned about health and safety in the workplace, that she considers that her main priority and goal in her job. And it appeared to me that she was willing to work in a reasonable fashion with anyone who felt that they had something to offer in workplace safety. That is not, in fact, what we have been faced with in Alaska for the last two full administrations. I'm sorry, guys, but that game is now over. Now, we can do, I suppose, whatever we want as individuals and as a body to continue to resist a change in philosophy. I don't think it's going to work. They're going to be here 4 years. We're only going to be here two. I guess what bothers me more than anything else was to watch the former administration attempt to utilize asbestos, much as I had seen the railroad people utilize safety, as a clarion call for continued further feather bedding based upon a coal-fired Loki standard. We were still carrying two and three extra people inside every Loki because somebody said, we got to have safety. Safety often gets misused. Asbestos, we are now finding. Where in the world was all this medical research about the fact that there are two different kinds of asbestos 3 or 4 years ago when we spent millions and millions of dollars cleaning it out of Bartlett High School? There are two kinds. One is carcinogenic. That can have cancerous effects, can have disease effects upon the lungs if inhaled. The other is not. The vast majority of all asbestos used commercially for the last 40-some years has been the non-carcinogenic type. But whether it's carcinogenic or non-carcinogenic, because of our regulations, you've got to run in there with a bunch of spacesuits on and put people through all of the inconveniences that the former speaker discussed. The only basis for the asbestos scare in America was because a group of people who had worked in the holds of ships with not even as much as a handkerchief tied around their mouths, breathing this stuff in a confined space for day after day after day, ended up with about a 5 to 7% higher incidence of lung diseases than the rest of the population did. Now, knowing full well that that group was a very rare group because safety in the workplace had dramatically changed after we got through World War II and people started wearing face masks and they weren't using that much asbestos in confined spaces. Yes, it got used in insulation in buildings and it went into ceiling tiles and it went into other things. And, of course, you couldn't just spray it and contain it and leave it there. Why? Because we had people in this state that wanted the work. I was here when the legislation was passed. I can remember who was pushing the legislation, and I remember what the purpose was. A lot of trumpeting and discussions about safety. There was a more venal basis for that legislation. It's been milked and used ever since by some of those same groups. Now, as the Cooper administration goes out the door, they take a ball of mud called asbestos and throw it at industry over their shoulder as they go out the door. That's what happened. The federal standard, which is just a moderate little standard, what is it, 50 times higher than ours? There's no evidence to indicate that it needs to be anywhere near that. I mean, our standard was 50 times higher than the feds. I would appreciate it sincerely if the members of this body would read one book just called The Trashing of This Planet and focus on the provisions in there written by scientists, not by emotional folks about asbestos. And you'll find out, I firmly believe, that asbestos is going to go to the same place that the carcinogenic cancers that were found in cranberries went to, when America couldn't eat cranberries for 2 or 3 years over the holiday season because somebody had decided, oh, cranberries were going to cause cancer. The next thing coming down the pike after that was the mercury and the halibut, and our halibut fishermen couldn't sell their mercury because some lady in Florida ate a bunch of swordfish and ended up with too much mercury in her system, so we had to test and study and look at every single halibut, only to find out that halibut caught in the 1890s had as much mercury in them as halibut caught today. Finally, after years, everybody kind of forgot about the mercury in the halibut. I'm suggesting to you, Mr. Speaker, that as science further develops background and information on asbestos, that we are going to find that the risk of actually contracting asbestosis from the inhalation in the workplace of some of this material, that your odds are better of being killed by being struck by lightning while playing golf on the Juneau golf course than they are of dying from that. But don't worry about it. Between now and then, we are going to examine it and study it to death. And we are going to force workmen to wander around in spacesuits. And we're going to force certain specific groups and give them the right to be the only persons that can go into this space age environment and play with asbestos. Because we're all concerned about that safety in the workplace. If you really want to do something about safety in the workplace, pass legislation across this floor that says, we'll take a urine sample, we'll take a breath sample, you show up at work and look a little squirrely, we're going to find out whether you're on booze or drugs. You take booze and you take drugs out of the workplace, you'll really start saving some human lives and some injuries. That's something meaningful you could do. But just to stand here and criticize that poor lady who took the job of taking on a Department of Labor that has been inundated with one philosophy for the last 8 years, a philosophy that got a governor almost indicted, I might add, is hard for me to understand that she should be criticized in that fashion when in good faith she sat there and answered every question and said, if there's basis to it, you bet I'll make the changes and I'll put them back into law. And I think she will. Thank you.
Any further special orders? Representative Donnelly?
Real shortly on the subject of asbestos, Mr. Speaker.
Very shortly. Are there any? Proceed.
Medical experts can differ on this. I think the evidence has been building up for years on it, but the thing that impressed me the most is when we found out that the ancient Greeks used to make their tablecloths out of asbestos, and after a party, they'd just throw it into the fire, burn it off instead of washing it, because, you know, it's fireproof. And doggone if they didn't start recording that all their tablecloth makers didn't start dying off real early, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Navarre, are you acting as at your old capacity?
That I am, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. Wednesday.
10 a.m. Wednesday.